Welcome to Watchman's Cry Meet in Due Season, the program for the people of God that are in the wilderness. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nathan Leal. This is our first program, and we're coming to you on this day of September 18th, 2011. And today, I'm going to share an introduction of what this program is going to be all about. And every one of these messages are going to be available on my website, watchmanscry.com. That's watchmans.com. You can go there, go to the audio link, and you can download these messages and be blessed by them. At this point in time, my friends, my goal is to have one of these available every Sunday so that those of you that may not be attending church or be a part of a local fellowship will have the ability to have something to listen to. By the way, even if you do attend a local fellowship, these programs are still going to be a blessing to you if you're hungry or if you're looking for spiritual answers, if you have a lot of questions about the things of God, about the kingdom of God. We're going to be talking about many, many things on these programs. Now, as a side note, for those of you that are familiar with my ministry, I am still going to be producing my regular Watchman's Cry broadcast messages. So be looking for those also on my website. If you want to be notified when those messages come out, you can go to my website and subscribe to the new notifications. Send me your email address and I will make sure that you're notified when a new message comes out. Also, as many of you may already know, I recently stopped doing the Survive to Thrive radio program, but folks, I'm still up on the wall and I'm observing and I'm watching the land. I'm watching it now more than ever. And as I observe the events that are approaching, I'm also going to be sending out a periodic audio program of news events. This is going to be called the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall update. So folks, good news, I have not gone away. This ministry is here to serve you with content and information of things that matter. I invite you to share this program with your loved ones, with your friends. You're free to download it. You're free to copy it. You're free to put it up on YouTube. Folks, just share it so that we can get the word out of encouragement, of comfort, and of spiritual food. Now, before we begin, I want to start off by playing a song that will bless you. So this next song is by Brother Morris Chapman, and it's called No More Nights. Enjoy.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven, not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. Never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ, our King. names from the book of red. I know the King. There is no need to dread. No more night. No more pain. No more tears. Never cry.
Wow. What a beautiful song. What beautiful words to paint the picture of what heaven is going to be like. And folks, that's another thing that I want to accomplish on this program. I want to get our hearts conditioned, renewed, energized, and thinking and meditating about the other country, the other land that God has prepared for those that love Him. He's prepared a place for us, folks. Those of us that have accepted the sacrifice of the salvation of Jesus. There's a place waiting for you, my friends. There's a place where you will no longer have to worry and endure the pain of tears and of heartache and of worry and fear and stress. My friends, God has prepared a place that no words can describe in human language. Heaven is a beautiful place, and there's music there that would bring to tears the most accomplished maestro of symphonies, because it's so beautiful there. There are colors that would bring tears to the most accomplished earthly painter and artist, because it's so beautiful there. There is overwhelming love. That day awaits us, my friends. That day is approaching. And on this program, we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about the promises of God, the benefits for the people of God. We're going to talk about the beautiful, wondrous peace that is available for the people of God. Now, on today's program, I want to lay a foundation of why all of those that are Christians need spiritual food. Most of you already know this, but since this is our very first program, I just want to explain what I want to accomplish. Now, folks, if you've been listening to this ministry for any length of time, you're very well aware that I've been warning for several years now that times are going to change, that judgment was coming and bad things were approaching. And many of you have awakened, many of you have recommitted your hearts to God, and now we need to advance to the next level. We're living at a precipice. We are coming to the end. You may ask, the end of what? Well, God is the sovereign master of the universe, and He has appointed times for His plan. He has a plan, folks. He has a predestined plan that is going to play out for humanity, for every one of us. And this plan has been predetermined since before the foundation of the world. So God has appointed times for His plan. And when I say appointed, I mean that there are divisions and chapters of time. God's divided history to coincide with His plan. This includes past history, it includes the present, and it includes future history. And here's the conclusion, folks. There are appointed seasons that we're going to go through. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 21, it says, He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and He raises up kings. And right now, this year, in 2011, God is changing the season. He's changing history right now. Many events are transpiring worldwide. And as you know, we've talked about these things, folks. The pivotal cataclysmic events are approaching, where the dollar is going to be no more and the eurozone is going to collapse. Eventually, we're going to see the fulfillment of prophecy. In summary, my friends, it's going to be very challenging. And most of you know this. You know that right now this planet is staring into an abyss. Right now you know that there's a giant whirlpool that is going to carry us into that abyss. And it's very, very important that we realize this. Not to get scared, my friends, not to be overwhelmed with fear, not to be distraught, but so that we can know that this is happening, because it's very important that we're awake. As I said, the times and the season is changing. A new season is coming, and you've heard me warn about it. You've heard me rant about it. And many of you are concerned about these things. You've shared these things with your family and your friends. Many people have awakened. So now here's where we are, folks. Now that many people are awake, hopefully you're awake, now the next question needs to be, now what? Now what do I do? What am I supposed to do? Folks, the thing that is next is the spiritual preparation. And that's what these programs are going to be about, the spiritual. Now, just saying the words, we need to get spiritually prepared, I know they sound good, but there's many of you that really don't know what that means. Nathan, okay, I believe you. I want to get spiritually prepared, but how do I do that? Point me. Which direction do I go? Where are the instructions for this? Well, of course, the instructions are in Scripture, in the Bible, as many of you know, but still, it's hard to know exactly what to focus on. What are we supposed to focus on? Well, to explain it, let me tell you a recent thing that happened to me. Just a few days ago, I received a phone call from a listener that lives on the East Coast, and this listener has been unemployed for a few months now. His wife still works, thank God, but he's been unemployed for a while, and he just called to talk privately with me about some things. And while I was talking to him, I asked him, I said, so tell me, what does the landscape look like there where you live? And he answered me, Nathan, you've warned for a long time that things were coming, so I've been expecting to see these things happen. And I've been expecting these things to arrive eventually, but it looks like these things are now here. And by these things, he meant the horrible economy. And folks, we know that no matter what the spin doctors say on the TV news, the economy's horrible. It's horrible for many people. I've said on my programs over the years that we're in a depression, so let's just call it what it is. In this depression economy, it's hard for some people. So I was talking to my friend. He said, here where I live, Nathan, it's already here. It's in my town. And he went on to tell me that the hard part about this is that none of us have ever been here before. Nathan, I don't know how to do this. I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to be prepared for this. I don't know how to deal with this. I can't find a job. I try. I look. I knock on doors. I go from opportunity to opportunity, from job to job, from prospect to prospect, and it all ends in a dead end. And he went on to tell me that this is not a simulation. This thing is the real deal. That's what he told me, folks. He also told me that, he said, Nathan, our old land looks like a new land. The landscape is different now. It doesn't look like it did just a few years ago. So since it looks different now, Nathan, where's the map? I don't have a map. And the other discouraging thing is no one seems to have the answers around here. No one's offering the answers. The pastors aren't offering answers. The change is here. So, my friends, that's just one testimony. But I've heard a lot of these kinds of things from a lot of people. The change is here. The transition is happening now, folks. Now, if you're not experiencing these things yet, then praise God. But now we're starting to see the transition where you had most of the population on one side of the yard, and they were all middle class employed, happy American citizens. And now, one by one, they're being taken aside and placed on the other side of the yard, having to become exposed to their new life, their new lot in life, which is unemployment, perpetual joblessness. Now, on paper, when we say that people are unemployed, people have lost their jobs, people are on food stamps, it's easy to just say that as a scientific fact, as an economic piece of news or information. But you know, folks, these pieces of economic fact, these statistics are made up of not just numbers, they're made up of real human beings, real people, real Americans, real Europeans, real Westerners. And right now, as the economy continues to dwindle, and as more and more people are losing their jobs, as Americans, we're not used to this. This is not normal. Now, I know I've said that this is going to become the new normal, but that aside, this is not what we're used to. This is not the type of normal news that we want to be getting used to. So here's the situation, folks. Right now, there are millions and millions of these people that I'm talking about that are in turmoil. These people are confused, and perhaps it's some of you. You're in turmoil. You're confused. You're full of fear because you don't know what the future's going to hold. You're worried about your benefits running out, and you're looking at the calendar on the wall and like a clock that is amplified in your mind and in your heart. There's a loud tick-tock going on, letting you know that time's running out. And then what? What are you going to do? So you're stressed out. And because you're stressed out, your energy level is low and you feel wiped out. Some people are freaking out, folks, and they don't know what to do. And many people right now in this season, they feel alone. They feel abandoned. Perhaps some members of their family or some of their friends place a guilt trip on them, making it sound like it's their fault they can't find a job. Have you felt that, folks? Have you heard that yourself? If you were smarter, you'd be able to find a job by now. What's the problem? And since these things are happening, many people feel alone right now. Many of God's people right now feel alone. And they can walk in public, and perhaps it's you. You can walk in a public place, but you still feel alone. You can go to church and sit there with hundreds of people around you, but still you feel alone because it seems like either nobody else cares or they don't really understand. So you feel alone, and you have to fight and battle depression. Folks, there's a lot of people that are depressed. Even Christians are depressed right now. Right now, this economy, as it crumbles, is growing larger and larger in so many historical categories. And in those groups of Christians that are going through the things I'm describing in this horrible economy, because they're being overwhelmed and they're struggling and they don't know where to turn, they don't know what to do now, many of them have empty lamps. Their wicks are untrimmed. They have no more strength and they have no more answers. But they want answers and they want to have strength. My friend, if this might be you, you don't want to be this way. I know that you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to feel overwhelmed. And you need nourishment right now. You need to eat spiritual food. You need to eat a meal that's going to bring encouragement to you and nourish you and strengthen you. Strengthen your spirit and your soul and your emotions. My friends, there's a lot of temptation right now for people to just give up, even among those that are Christians. If you're a child of God and you're going through what I'm talking about right now, Satan is going to do his hardest to tempt you. He's going to try his best to tempt you to give up. He's going to try his best to tell you that what's the point? Why even try? God already abandoned you. God doesn't care. Folks, Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the God of this world, but he is a liar. And his whole purpose is to place thoughts of self-destruction, place thoughts of discouragement and fear and heartache in your heart and your mind, to give you bad dreams, bring up the past. He's a horrible entity, my friends, and he's out there. But I want to address this. I want to address that he doesn't care about you, but someone does care. And I've stated over and over in my programs that God knows what's happening right now. The season is changing for America and for the West, for the prosperous ones, for those of us that all we have ever known is a life of mostly ease. The American dream created an atmosphere, an economy, and a lifestyle that made it easy. And we are not used to having this atmosphere taken away from us. We're not used to losing this lifestyle. But it's happening, folks. We are losing this lifestyle. So the purpose of these programs is to equip all of you that are listening with knowledge of the truth. Folks, we need to face the truth, and then we need to address the truth. Not just the truth that doom is happening, but the truth of the big challenge that is also a part of these hard times, and that is this, the battle that goes on in your mind and in your spirit. That is the big challenge for the people of God right now. Now, my friends, where we are right now in the timeline of the coming era of turmoil, we're just at the very beginnings of this new chapter. And folks, I hate to say this, but it's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. It's going to get harder out there. So I want to see all of you get stronger. And if you as a child of God are going through this struggle and you do not overcome, then there's a possibility that you're going to lose your sanity. You'll lose your focus. You'll lose your good intent. And it will be much, much harder without having the tools that are offered to us through a life in Christ. My friends, our minds need to get stronger. Our minds need to be reprogrammed to have the mind of Christ, to have the mind of the things of heaven, to have the mind of the statutes and the principles of God. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, the Apostle Paul challenges us, and he admonishes us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That means that we're supposed to walk in a manner that is no longer the manner of our past, when we didn't care, when we didn't know any better, when we were walking in the world. God is not giving us an unreasonable request. He's not telling us to do something that we cannot do. He's admonishing us to do this. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Right there it says to be changed, to no longer consider ourselves the residents of this world and act like this world. Now, to be conformed would mean that we're another clone of this world walking around, emulating the people around us, emulating and acting like those that do not know Christ. The Bible says don't do that, folks. We need to transform ourselves from that lifestyle. And to do this, we're going to have to reprogram our mind. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The biggest battle happens in our mind with those thoughts, with those temptations that want to return, with those thoughts that are entertained. It has to do with the renewing of our mind. Now, folks, we cannot do this in our own strength. The only way we're going to accomplish this is through the tools that God has given us. And the tools that he has given us are several. He's given us the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit was given to us when we first met God at salvation. And the Holy Spirit was given to us as a down payment, as an earnest deposit. And what that means is, while we're here on this corrupted, dark world, the Holy Spirit is available for us to comfort us, to light our path, to reveal the secrets of God, to communicate with us his will, to give us peace, to show up when we're worshiping Jesus. There's a lot of reasons for the Holy Spirit to endue you with power, to give you boldness, to be able to be a witness for God, to give us spiritual gifts. There's a lot of reasons, folks. So God has those tools available. Now, to the person that hasn't thought about them very much, if you're a person that really hasn't tried to understand these things, you haven't really made it your driven goal to seek to know these things. But now, when you take inventory of your life and when you look into the mirror, spiritually speaking, and you compare your life to what you know you could be living, when you look in the mirror and compare your life to what we read in the scriptures, you know that there's room for improvement. There's room for improvement in all of us, my friends. So renewing our mind takes a commitment. And the first step of this commitment is repentance. It's the 180. When we came to the cross, when you were on your knees and you repented to Jesus and you cried out to God and admitted that you need his help. when you admitted that you were tired of living in a sinful life, and you gave him your life, and you asked him to be your Lord and your Savior, and you submitted your life to him for the rest of your days on this planet. Folks, you either meant it or you didn't. I believe that most of you that are listening to this program right now, you meant it. So you have a hunger. You want to get there. You want to please God. But you know that there's a battle going on. Folks, we are all wired the same. Every one of us, whether you're a male or a female, when it comes to spiritual battles and the strongholds that want to attack us as humans, folks, Satan has been at this thing for thousands of years, tempting human beings, because human beings are basically wired the same. Our battle is against our flesh. Our battle is against having a mind of the flesh. Our battle is against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three categories contain all the sins that man can commit. And those three categories are the sins that we're going to battle against. But we're going to talk about these things on these programs, folks. We're going to shine a light on them, and we're going to stand against them. We're going to resist them. We're going to renounce them. We're going to bring our lives into the light. All things are open and laid bare before Him, Jesus, with whom we have to do. So we need to transform our minds, my friends. We need to renew our minds. The battle's in the mind, folks. So that's where a lot of the battle will happen. But in addition to the battle of your mind and your soul, there's also a battle of your spirit against the flesh. And so there are spiritual tools that we need to get a hold of. In order to do that, we need to learn what these spiritual tools are, or we need to be reminded of these spiritual tools. And if you are a remnant child of God, if you're a part of that flock, then let's get into boot camp, my friends. Let's get into spiritual boot camp. God gave us the tools that we need, so it's up to us to learn about those things. And folks, there's good news. We're going to talk about those things, and we're going to meet this thing head on, because by meeting it head on, then we're going to be conforming into the image of God. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed. So folks, to renew our mind, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God, and it takes the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the knowledge of Scriptures. It takes learning to meditate on the Scriptures. It takes learning how to divide rightly the word of truth. It takes learning how to study and learning how to have a devotional, learning how to pull the truths that God has in the Bible, learning how to find them, learning how to go on a treasure hunt when it comes to the hidden nuggets in the Scriptures. It takes many things, folks, and that's what being a disciple is. That's what maturity is. So if you're not where you want to be as children of God, we're going to seek to attain His image. And right now, my friends, there are so many of you that are struggling. You're hurting. You're fearful. You're scared. And when you look into the future that is unsure, many of you may feel the temptation to panic, to feel hopeless, because you don't know what to do. On these programs, we're going to study how to get closer to God. We're going to study how to find the right tools and the gifts of God, to find the strength from God, to be nourished by God, to be fed by God. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Folks, I do want to say this. The reason that we need to do this, the reason that we need to find nourishment and strength from God, is so that we can endure the storm with our sanity. It's so that we can endure the storm without failing, without yielding to temptation. It's so that we can go through that storm and come out on the other side refined. Because that's what's happening right now. In fact, if you could picture when this meltdown started in the United States, when this depression started, it started about late 2007, 2008, and here we are 3 years later. So we've been on this journey for 3 years, and it's going to last a lot longer. But this is a simple way to describe what's going to happen, folks, and it is this. 2008 was the beginnings of warming the oven up, so to speak. The earth is an oven, and the temperature was turned on. The oven was turned on, and now the oven has warmed up, and it's getting hot, and it's going to continue to get hot. And inside of that oven of the earth that's very hot right now are all the inhabitants of the earth, good or evil, the believers and the unbelievers, the wheat and the chaff. We're all in that oven together. But here's what's going to happen, folks. If you call yourself a child of God, if you call yourself part of the remnant, in order to be a part of the remnant, then we need to endure while we're in the oven. And if you endure with the commitment and the choice that you're going to live for God during this ordeal, then while we're going through these struggles and while you're experiencing the stripping and the pouring out and the purging and the pruning, while you're experiencing having your wrinkles ironed out, my friends, that is called refinement. God is refining His people right now. He's refining His church. He's working the wrinkles out of us to cleanse us from the impurities that are in our lives. My friends, God views you as a precious piece of His remnant. And in scriptures, it talks about His remnant being as silver that gets refined. Now, to the person that resists God and hates God, while they are in the fire, they're just going to be consumed. They're just going to be burned up, so to speak. And they'll come out on the other side as a person that is more bitter, as a person that hates God, as a person that blames God and curses the heavens. So it's going to be one of two results, my friends. People are going to get, and I know it's a cliche, but we're either going to get bitter or better through this. And my friends, I vote for better, and I vote for you to get better. My prayer for you is that you will become refined. But in order for us to come out on the other end refined, we need to understand what's going on while we're going through it. And that is the purpose of these programs, folks. We're going to talk about the refinement process. We're going to talk about how it hurts when we get refined, how there's a lot of tears when we get refined. So folks, I want you to know that you are not alone. So please, my friends, please let us allow this season that we're in right now be a season where we are the silver ones, the silver remnant of God that is refined. And we love Him because He knows what He's doing. He's our master. He's the potter. The book of Revelation spoke about the challenge to the seven churches. And over, Jesus said to those churches, "He that overcomes will receive this or that." In order to receive the rewards and the satisfactory report from Jesus, "Well done," my friends, we have to endure. You can do it. You can do it. Before this season started, God knew that you were going to be where you are. God knew that you were going to get to this part of your life. God knew that you would be facing these things. He knew, my friends, and He's the captain of your boat, and He's watching from the shoreline, and He sees you struggling at the oars. He sees you struggling because the waves are tossing you about, but He knows, folks, and He's watching. So through these messages, my friends, we're going to talk about all the tools that are available. We're going to have our eyes of understanding open. And by doing so, my friends, we're going to be accomplishing the will of God to be transformed, to have our minds renewed, to learn what picking up the cross really means, to learn that this world is just temporary. Someday, we're going to go home. Our real home. Your real home, my friends. Your real home that awaits you. Your real home that's in a city whose builder and maker is God. Your real home that has not been created by human hands. Your real home. It's called glory, my friends. And if you've repented and you're hungry for Him, your name is in that book. So we have to endure. And with the Holy Spirit's help and with God's help, you will endure. We need to gain some spiritual supplies, folks. So I want to share just a short list. It's a spiritual to-do list. And number one, the fear of God, folks, a healthy fear of God. Why do we need that? Well, it's because if we have an understanding of who God really is in all His majesty and in all His power, and if we have an understanding of what He aims to do to this world in these end times, if we really understood what He was going to do, folks, and if we really understood what His goal is through the things that He's going to do, then we would want to get allied with Him and on His side. And if we really understood the great shaking that He's going to do to this planet, then we would gain a healthy, healthy respect of God. Folks, having a healthy fear of God is a great motivator. A very great motivator. So that's one thing that we're going to be talking about in some of my future programs. in some of my future sermons. We're going to talk about the fear of God. We're going to spend time learning about the fear of God, learning about his attributes, learning about his power, learning about who God is, and even make it a prayer. God, show me a healthy fear of you. Teach me to know the fear of God. Folks, let that be your prayer. Let that become a part of your regular prayer life. It says in the book of Psalms that the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear God and deliver them. There's benefits to fearing God, my friends. Now to the world may say, those that fear God are just his little minions because God's so ego-driven that he just wants all the little earthling ants to fear him. Folks, that's a lie. The reason we should fear God is because he is. He's the great I am. He's the creator of all the universe. So wouldn't the smartest person and the wisest person choose the strongest one to fear, which is God? Of course they would. And my friends, we're going to learn to do that. We're going to learn the beauty that can be found in fearing God. The next thing on the list that we need to learn right now, my friends, is love for the brethren. Love, my friends. Love for our family members, for our children. Folks, I know that many times when I share these messages, some people may get the idea that Nathan is just a depressed little worm that crawls around the ground and turns on the microphone and starts scaring everybody. And then when he's done, he goes into the corner and just weeps until the next program because he's so full of depression. Folks, I, Nathan Liao, am not a depressed person. When I'm not on these programs, off the air, I want to experience the beauty of life. I want to experience the wholesome parts of life. I have a family. I have children. I love to laugh and play with my kids. I love to tell jokes. I love to see them laughing. And my friends, I want to encourage you with this. If you have family members, try your best to spend time with them. Do some things different. Write that down, folks. Spend time with my family. Spend time with my kids. And not bad time and low quality time. Spend good quality time with them, folks. Spend the type of quality time that would be a beautiful Kodak picture in a photo album, that when you look back at it, it brought beautiful memories to your heart. In fact, that's another way to describe it. Folks, make beautiful memories with your family right now, with your loved ones. Husbands, make beautiful memories with your wife. If some of you are having struggles and relationship issues, then that's another thing to work through. But in light of the big picture of what's coming and how hard the struggles are going to be, my friends, I want to encourage you to find the counsel of God. Try your best to have your relationships restored with one another if you're struggling in those things. The love of the brethren, my friends, and make memories that you can look back on, because if in 1 year from now, if things are so different, and if perchance, and God forbid, you were no longer with your family members, folks, the memories that will haunt you are the lack of memories that you're making right now. So in the future, if you lost your family and it's game on and the lights are out, perhaps you'll be separated from your family, or if some great event happens that, God forbid, again, some family members are lost from you, or they go into eternity. And 1 year from now, when you look back, let them be good memories that you look back on. Let them be memories that nourish your soul and feed your soul of the good moments that you had with them. So that's number two, folks, love of the brethren. Number three, assurance, spiritual assurance. Now, what is that? That is the assurance that only happens supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. That is the supernatural assurance that can give comfort to any person that is a child of God during a storm. And as the storm arrives, the thing to rest on is the assurance that he is in control even of the storm. No matter how bad it gets, God is in control, my friends. And eventually the storm will be over and the sun will come out. So the assurance of knowing these things is a foundation of faith, my friends. Assurance is what we're going to be seeking to get a hold of. And I'm going to be praying that you will get a hold of them, my friends. That you will have victory. The next thing, number four, peace. The peace of God. The supernatural peace of God. My friends, I want to see you get a hold of that. And getting a hold of the supernatural peace of God is a process. It's a process that entails having a burden and casting that burden to Jesus in faith and asking God to take that burden away. It's a process, my friends. The Bible makes a promise. It promises that there is a peace that passes all understanding, and God will give it to you in exchange for you giving your burden to Him. The peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. How valuable is that? To have peace of mind, not living the nightmare of the unknown and of stress and worry and fear. Folks, during this storm, we can have peace. We're going to aim for that, the peace of God. Number 5, the knowledge of God. Learning knowledge about Him. We need to get to know Him, and this takes time, my friends. This means we have to spend time learning about Him. We need to spend time studying. We need to have strategic study. We need to have discipline study. Folks, this is what a disciple does. And if you're part of the remnant of God, you're going to do this, my friends. But it's not a dreary task that leads to nowhere. Studying about the knowledge of God has a great reward, because by knowing God, by knowing Jesus, then you will be able to hear His voice. And you will be able to hear His voice to the point where you can hear His instructions. You know, I was sharing earlier about that gentleman that I spoke to on the phone. He said, "Nathan, I don't have a map. I don't know how to live through times like this where there's a depression over the land." And you know, folks, that's true. None of us has a map. We don't know how to do it. But if we have the knowledge of God, if we know Jesus, if you know Jesus, my friends, He will be your navigator. He will be the captain of your ship. He will tell you to turn left or turn right or go straight or to stop or to wait a while or to duck or to climb. There's great advantages of knowing Jesus and being able to hear His voice. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to learn about that, my friends. We're going to practice that. Number 6, encountering and experiencing God. You know, folks, a lot of the world has an aversion to the things of God. And one of the reasons that they do is because they're blind to the reality of God. They don't realize that He's real. They don't realize that God is actually the great I Am. He's their creator. They don't know that God can touch a human heart and a human soul, and that we can encounter a supernatural divine presence from an entity from another dimension. Not just a simple generic entity, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God of majesty. My friends, it's possible to encounter God and to be enveloped by His Holy Spirit, and that Holy Presence will come around you like a cloud, like a warm stream enveloping you. Folks, the Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, this may be new to some of you. If some of you are new Christians, or perhaps you've been a Christian a while, but you could say, "Nathan, you know, that sounds beautiful what you're describing, but I've never felt that." If you haven't, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to seek it to see you encounter and to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we're going to learn how to go to the trough of God, how to approach His trough, His throne, His river, His presence. We're going to learn that when we taste, then we know that He's real. And when we know that He's real, then you will know that you're not alone, my friend. And when you know that He's real, then you can be strengthened with His presence, with His peace, and with His assurance. And my friends, when you have the assurance that God is real, and you know that you know, then it really won't matter what's going on around you. Because even though there's turmoil around you, you will know that you're in the shelter of His hand, and He's not going to let you go. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you, because He loves you, and He desires to be your friend. Right now, you who are the people of God, you don't need to just have some spiritual hors d'oeuvres, or you don't need to have some Jenny Craig gospel appetizers that barely feed you and have you walking away hungry. My friends, right now, we as the children of God, as the people of God, we need the real meat of God. And that meat is available, my friends. There's a lot of knowledge that's in the scriptures, folks, and this treasure hunt is an exciting journey. I'm excited for you, my friends. And let your time in the scriptures when we come together be a time where you take your own shovel and you come to the scriptures and you find yourself excited to dig on a quest to find the hidden nuggets of knowledge and truth that can bless you. We can be comforted on this journey. The panic can go away if we learn to be seekers of God. The panic, the heartache, the worry, the fears, they can be addressed, and Jesus can take those overwhelming feelings away from your emotions and your mind. Now, again, my friends, I need to say this. I am not promising that your storm's going to go away. Well, Nathan, if my storm's not going to go away, why even try? Folks, this is what my purpose is. While you're struggling with your oars and you find yourself becoming fearful that you're in a boat and you're trying to row to the other side, but the waves are tossing you about and all you see is waves and your heart's pounding with panic, what we need to do is to take a few short breaths and to look over our shoulder to the side. And if we have to, get your binoculars out, squint your eyes, put on your glasses, and look across the water to the shoreline, my friends. Jesus is standing on the shoreline. He knows that you're in the storm. So there is comfort in knowing that we're in his hand. As I've stated in times past, this is controlled chaos that we're going through. It's not chaos that will go away, but it's chaos that has been preordained by our sovereign Lord. He knows that it's chaotic. And since he knows it's happening, he's controlling the ride. And if he's controlling the ride, he's going to take care of you no matter what happens. He is watching. It's going to be okay. Folks, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are seeking all sorts of things. There's a laundry list and a menu of things that are being offered right now. The things that are superficial, the things that aren't going to matter in times of turmoil and trial. You know, there's some churches that spend 5, 6, 10, 12 weeks on series about how to be happy or how to do this or that. And the topics of these, while they may sound good on paper, they would not be able to carry a person in solitary confinement prison. Folks, think about that. What if we are getting closer and closer to the Great Tribulation and eventually the beast is going to start rounding up Christians? And even though you tried to escape and bug out and you tried your best to be wise, still it happened that you were caught and placed in a New World Order prison in solitary confinement. Think about this. If you were in solitary confinement and you were hungry for the things of God, right now in your present condition, how many verses could you recite? How many verses could you recite in your heart and in your spirit to try to comfort yourself with, to try to encourage yourself? Only you can answer that, my friends. I'm going to do my part here at Watchman's Cry to share these things and to share these challenging messages. And I believe that God is going to do some very, very special things in all of our lives as we go on this journey together. If you're not very happy with where you are right now, if you feel weak and defeated because you're not at the place that you want to be, my friends, tomorrow is a new day. And I'm going to believe that God is going to get a hold of you and God is going to strengthen you. And even though it may seem like things are hopeless, even though it may seem like there's no future, even though it may seem like there's no answers for you, my friends, let's get full of God. Let's get full of the knowledge of God together. If we're full of God and we're full of his strength, it doesn't matter what the world takes away from you. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. And then, my friends, as the beauty of God develops inside of you, then you will be useful to the master. Then you will be full of faith. Then you will be one of those that he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." My friends, I love you, and we're going to win this battle. Well, this was our first program, my friends. I plan to do these. These are going to be ready for you every Sunday. So if you go to watchmanscry.com, you will be able to find them there. Or you can subscribe to my notifications, and I'll send you a notification so that you can get these messages. Also, I want to say this. If you appreciate the work that we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. And it says in Scripture that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. My friends, the blood of the Lamb, the word. Cherish the word, my friends. God bless you. Bye-bye.